All right.
It's recording.
Go ahead.
Sherry's moving her mouth, but you're muted.
I can hear her.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, welcome everybody. It is Thursday, November 12th, 2020, and this is the UCF, UFF, and UCF BOT bargaining teams. We are impact bargaining on MOU on, it's on racism, but what are we calling it now?
Diversity and inclusion.
Diversity and inclusion. And I think that we sent you our latest version today, if you've got it. So, and this is really Chuck and Sarah's baby, so I'm going to let them take care of it today, and I'm just going to sit back and listen to the discussion.
And I vote for Sarah.
I find
most of the work on this version.
Yovana, do you want me to share my screen with the latest tracked version?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, I'll do that. Oh, host disabled screen sharing. Brianna, are you the host? Could you give me sharing rights?
Okay, you should be able to.
Okay, thanks. There we go. Where am I? Here we go. Share. Okay, can everyone see? Does it say UCF Diversity and Inclusive Culture MOU?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, BOT number 3 at the top.
Yes.
Okay. Can you get rid of all the formatting stuff?
And it still be track changes?
Yeah. Not there. Under no. Oh yeah, maybe that would work. But underneath her markup options, hit the down arrow for that.
Okay.
Is there a down arrow?
I have pressed it.
It has a little carrot on the right. Does that not do anything? All right. Well,
you just can't see it, but it is. I pressed it.
Oh, okay. So it should have no formatting.
It's just showing deletions.
Okay. All right. Never mind then. Okay. On mine, you can eliminate the markup. Anyway, sorry.
The simple markup would at least get rid of the formatting.
And you don't see any red line. You just kind of see on the edge where there was a change.
Yes.
Sorry, I have a Mac, so it's a little different, I think.
Oh, that's why. Okay, never mind then.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just do an all markup, and sorry if it's difficult to look at. So as we discussed last time, we just went through, and basically what we did, it was streamline. In certain instances where we had examples of things, for example, that the speaker series might be about, we just took all the examples out. So that gives us maximum flexibility going forward to propose any topic in the equity, inclusion, and diversity field that would be a good for a speaker, depending on who speaker availability, who the speaker is, and whatever topic is of interest at the time. Have gone through, you'll see throughout equity, inclusion, and diversity. We tried to use that throughout as the preferred order for our Office of Equity, Inclusion, and Diversity. That's just kind of standardization language across the university. Let's see, do you want to go line by line? I mean, this is pretty familiar to what we did last time, what we proposed last time. There were a few changes to, and we can go line by line if you'd like, but I wasn't sure if you all had specific questions about any changes we made.
Well, one thing, could you put ours side by side? Do you have our copy? Because ours was also a number 3 MOU from October 7th.
I could probably pull it up. I mean, this is the red line with your, we just took out the formatting changes, but this is shows changes to your latest version.
Okay. Now I just wanted so that others on the line could also see that, so certain things like to that end, we aspire to, which what you deleted was will, you know, because that was one of the things that our team members kept saying, like, we're always, as UCF, we're always aspiring when we'll actually do something. So there was concern that aspiring means that, like, okay, sometime in the future. But I don't know if it's possible to put some sort of, like, time
Well, we do have the phases in there, the time and the phases. So that is our timeline.
Okay.
You know what, Sarah, let me try to share mine instead of yours.
Okay.
Because, all right, it's telling me I can't do it when you're doing it. Okay, I know.
So the aspirations at the top, I'm viewing that as more of like an overarching, that's the goal of this whole MOU. And we're going to, what I added in that last bullet point is prevent future instances of hostile work environment or discrimination through equity, inclusion, diversity initiatives as described below. So the initiatives under phase one and phase two are how we're going to implement these aspirations. So these aspirations themselves are the end goal, but the action items are under phase one, phase two, how we get there. That's how I've been.
All right. So are you seeing both pages, Sarah? I don't know what you're seeing on the screen.
I see, yes, both pages. There's lots of pretty colors.
Okay, so you can see like what Yovana was talking about is we had Aspire 2, they put back Will, we crossed that out and put Aspire to that. Yeah. So I just want to make sure that you can see this copy so that, would it be better if it was just one at a time?
Okay. Then we can read better.
Okay, hold on just a second. Let me make this. All right, does that...
good. We can see all sorts of things now.
Yeah. Now I'll just see.
No, see more of your desktop, and that's still quite small. So you might want to close the other things and maximize this page.
Okay. It should be just. I don't know what it's seeing.
Yeah. If you can increase. You know. You have it at. Make it 100. And, yeah. Okay.
Now we see your email.
Ah. All right. So. And the Orlando Sentinel.
They'll see your email.
All right. So why isn't it doing?
There we go. There. Well, it's still side by side, but I can see it fine. But I have a very large.
Yeah, you can leave it.
I'm sorry. Let me try one more thing, and then I will move everything off into other.
Well, screens. if you click in the middle and make it take the full page, then it will be.
If I click in the middle and make it full page.
Like there. Okay.
See it. The thing is that when I make it full page. Okay.
All right. No problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
There.
We can. Yeah.
You can see.
Below, you see when it is 100%. If you just pull it to the right, then it would be 150%.
And
right at the bottom right.
Oh, here. Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's what you wanted.
That's all right. Let's just go. Yeah, this is good enough.
Okay, good enough. All right, sorry, I'll try to, because I can't see what you see, so. Okay, go ahead. So this is where you were, right, Sarah?
Right, exactly. So in that last bullet, I added that as like a way to tie this all together. Like we're going to address things as they come up, because we know in an organization of our size, things will come up, it's inevitable. Mm-hmm. And we're going to address them as they're reported, but there's also this element of wanting to prevent future actions. A way that we do that is through, or that we're envisioning we're going to do that, is through these phase one, phase two initiatives over the next few years. So that involves the workshop and training, the speaker series, all the stuff that's listed under phase one, phase two. So those, I'm seeing those as the action items tied to the time frames.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and if I may, I think the first bullet point up in that section under the things that we're aspiring to do, we put a four-year time frame on this memo. It's extremely unlikely, even with the very, very best of efforts, that in 4 years' time our faculty would be a match to the demographics of the state of Florida. So we've got a target, we're aiming at that target, but I think we have to realistically realize that it's going to take effort over the next 4 years and more to really make that happen.
Right, this is a much longer term aspiration and a goal, and work will be done starting now, but that's going to, like Chuck says, that's going to be an ongoing project, especially like right now we're under a hiring freeze. We're not going to be able to make much progress there until circumstances allow us to hire again. But of course, as people leave and positions are filled, that we, you know, will take that goal into account too. And I think we already do, but, you know, with special emphasis that we're getting, you know, the highly qualified and diverse faculty and staff that reflect our community as a whole.
Okay.
So under phase one, when you have 2020 to 2022, item one, that's what we have right now. And there is nothing there that checks that search committees follow any practices, or that there's anybody above the search committee that they are responsible to, they're accountable to.
There were a complaint made about how a search committee was run. That's something that would be investigated and that would be elevated through a complaint process.
I think that's one of the challenges, right, with this MOU. There's lots of great of actions and tasks in place, but how do you ensure that they'll actually occur, or some type of measurement to show, or metric to show improvement over time? It's great to aspire, but we need to actually have some numbers, right? When you think about research, we don't just say we're going to go and do this study, but we're going to actually show through numbers, statistics, that there's actually been an impact or a change. And I think that's what's missing from this MOU. What's going to show that these action steps are having some type of impact on the faculty here at UCF?
Mm-hmm. I believe Faculty Excellence tracks these metrics, and they will continue to do that. So you would get data to see if we are making progress. That would be easy to pull as far as how the effort is going. But also, I think we need to note that, you know, diversity looks different in lots of different ways, and looking for diversity of could be culture, viewpoint, mm-hmm. ethnicity, race, gender, all of the different, you know, protected categories. And we're not legally allowed to have a quota system for saying, and in fact, you know, some well-known private employers have gotten dinged for announcing we're going to increase hiring of this particular demographic by 25% in the next 2 years. It's hard to do that without saying that you have a quota for how many positions you're trying to fill.
No.
We're legally not allowed to take race into account in hiring, or have it being a decisive factor. So the sense that it seems like some of this language is watered down, it's just to make sure that we're increasing the diversity of our faculty and staff in a way that's legally supported and can stick, and that is not going to be challenged, overturned, and then we end up worse off than when we started, if that makes sense.
Well, I think if I look at item number one, then if we could provide search committee with a checklist of things that they could do, right now it's left entirely up to committee members to actively recruit highly qualified from vacant positions and work to eliminate any identified barriers in the hiring process. So they can identify that there are no barriers. They can say that they called up their friends and that was a diverse pool, and so they have done that. So we don't have any action items that they could take that would at least ensure that, in fact, what I'm saying is that it's weaker than what we have right now, because what we have right now is that they have to show that they have gone through these various places from where they can recruit a diverse pool of candidates. At least they have advertised in these areas and all that. This doesn't say any of that. So if this is going to be the MOU, it should at least be as good as what we have right now.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think we need the MOU to repeat things that we're already doing. Chuck may have more to say about that.
Then maybe we can just say that the common practice and the common practices can be found here. That would be fine. I'll be fine with that. Chuck, you were saying something.
Well, I think one thing that I think is different about this first point is the emphasis on developing postings with inclusive language. I think that's something that we've not really been actively working on as an institution.
Okay.
Now, I agree with you that for some time, certainly since Nancy Myers has been in place at OIE, we've been doing everything we can to actively recruit highly qualified and diverse mm-hmm. applicants for vacant positions.
Mm-hmm.
What this first point would allow us to do is make sure that we craft those announcements
in with language
that's going to be attractive so that we do get highly qualified and diverse applicants for those vacant positions. I do see this as a little bit more.
Right. Okay. No, I get that. But let's say I'm chair of the search committee. Where do I find that inclusive language?
Well, before a position vacancy announcement is approved, it's got to be evaluated. And, people are going to be looking at these things and making sure that the language is appropriate.
Okay.
If you and I wanted to hire somebody to teach STEM, you and I just can't write an announcement and post it in the Chronicle of Higher Education.
It will go through a process in which it will be checked whether it is inclusive or not.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we do right now, that to enhance diversity, what we have right now is that we have to show that we went through these list of places where, from where we can recruit diverse group of candidates. Okay.
And there also is a handbook that HR has put together, and OIE may have helped craft that handbook, that provides guidance for search committees.
Okay.
And I hope search committees are looking at that and making sure that they're doing everything they can to broaden the pool as much as possible and then equitably evaluate all of the applicants for each position.
So what I'm thinking is that if that could just be added in, that, here are the places where you can find these documents, I'm just fine. I think it looks great. It's just that if committee members know where to find inclusive language and I've been on the other side where we have to, we have to really ensure that we have done that. And it is really important to know where we could go to see, what are the places where we should advertise and what are some good examples of inclusive language.
The problem with putting it in the MOU as like a bullet point would be that this is a long-term document and where those things live online, they change. It just mm-hmm. seems like it's a kind of a situation that would be potentially in flux too as things develop, and they might develop better guidance. So
can I throw out an alternative way to do this? And
sure.
What if we said something like human resources and OIE are available to support the hiring process or something like that.
So the only thing about that, Chuck, is that they don't do faculty hiring. Are we talking about faculty hiring or hiring in general?
Well, here we're principally talking about faculty hires.
Right. So that doesn't.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. But OIE, I'm pretty sure on the OIE website, there's a document to guide faculty searches. There are some positions, some in-unit positions that may be handled by HR.
We could just say in parentheses, guidelines could be fine. It could be found from such and such offices.
Yeah, I think that's all that Talat is asking. And we've done this before, when we
these guidelines could be found.
Yeah, Article 18 on inventions and works, and also article on promotion when we added a link from the university. And we also did for the OMOU on COVID. So some direction as to where to go to find inclusion and diversity guidelines or standards. And actually, now that I think about it, my department too, I think back in, sometimes I remember asking that same question when I was on a search committee, like, where do we actually find language? I can't recall right now if the person actually found, if the chair of that committee found the language. So could we have the link to such a page?
Well, I think we can put something there. I don't know whether the link is the right thing. It may be a direction. I like the word direction that you had a moment ago.
Okay. You can
direct people to the right place because, as Sarah said, those websites, maintaining websites is an unbelievable job.
Yeah, guidelines could be found at the Office of Equal Opportunities and HR or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good.
Chuck, were you referring to the search and screening guidelines?
Mm-hmm. For item one.
No, I know. I'm asking. There's a document called UCF OIE Search and Screening Guidelines.
Yes. I don't know that there's anything in there about inclusive language. But there certainly are suggestions for how one should conduct a search and make sure that the pool is as rich as it possibly can be.
Also, the good thing would be that if the language is not there, maybe something will come up.
Are you putting it in there, Charlie?
Oh, no, I wasn't. Sorry, I'm trying to find the link to the OIE guide so you could take a look at it. So I was trying to bring up the chat window so I could put in the link to the OIE guide because it may already be there.
Okay.
So maybe can we circle back to that, to bullet number one?
Fine.
Okay.
I'm writing a note to myself.
This is the search screening guidelines document I'm reading right now. They do have some guidance as to the posting on the jobs website starting on page 6.
Okay.
It does say to use appropriate equal opportunity and affirmative action language in all postings.
Mm-hmm.
All qualified applicants are encouraged to apply, including minorities, women, protected veterans, and all individuals with disabilities. That's already happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So were we thinking about putting something so specific in the MOU, or do we understand that this language is something that we continue to work on and continue to make, you know, to support OIE in their efforts to help us provide a more diverse pool? I guess I don't understand what you want to change.
You can do that, exactly what you just said. Like, for more information, search the screening guidelines provided by Office of Institutional Equity.
Exactly.
Do we want that in the MOU? Is that an MOU thing?
Well, we've done something similar to that before.
Okay. All right. So
I'm speaking only from my, you know, lack of knowledge of it from the other side when I was trying to post ads and not knowing exactly where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So what language would you like then?
So what we just said of additional information can be found on screening guidelines by the Office of Institutional Equity. There we go.
Yeah.
Yes. Good.
Thank you. Looks like that wasn't tracking. Ooh, sugar. All right, hold on a second. Oops.
And Charlie, will you put search and screening guidelines?
Sure, of course.
Thank you. That's just what the document is called. That might help if someone was just Googling it. It pops right up.
That's good. That way they can call the document whatever they want.
Okay, thanks for your patience on that.
Okay. So on the second bullet, that was just an example of when we took out examples of the types of trainings that might be offered and just said we're strongly encouraging employees to participate in workshops and trainings offered by Office of Diversity and Inclusion. That gives you all and them maximum flexibility to decide what you want those topics to be. But especially with regards to training, that is something that is affected by the executive order that we discussed. Less so if it's a academic lecture or talk, more so if it's a training.
Okay.
But in any event, hopefully by January 21st, we won't have this obstacle anymore to think about in our lives, and we can go back to talking and thinking about all of the things that we care about and just the way that we want to.
Okay.
Just to throw a date out there. Tyler, or Charlie, we can see that.
Yep, I'm killing it. Sorry.
As to, same thing on the third, we took out the examples as to the speaker series, just wanted, again, maximize whatever topics that are want to be discussed or proposed for a speaker series, as long as they're within the equity, inclusion, and diversity, umbrella, then it would, you know, meet our COVID MOU agreement. And then I just added to the extent permitted by the speaker, because I deal with contracts a lot with speakers and they don't always consent to recording, for example. So I wanted to at least say, for example, if there was a speaker that everyone was really excited about, but they wouldn't agree to live stream or record it, that's still something we could go forward with and not be run afoul of the MOU. We have added that we strongly encourage faculty to propose equity, inclusion, diversity courses, to advertise those on college and department websites. I don't think, made too many changes to that bullet point, Charlie, about the ambassadors. Oh, we did take out that the college ambassadors would be invited to speak at a meeting of the Faculty Senate and UFF, just because that didn't have any reciprocal obligation for us, so it didn't seem to belong in the MOU, but that's fine. Of course, you're welcome to invite those ambassadors to attend any meeting that you all have.
Okay, and then we had added that because a lot of the times we hear like, oh, you know, the faculty senate members or even the union, not even knowing that there's diversity initiatives on campus. And sometimes we talk about it and we don't have that knowledge. So that's the reason why I added that there. But I understand what you're saying about the third party obligations.
Right, and hopefully when everyone designates, the colleges all designate the ambassadors, that's something that either through communications or otherwise can be well known, so everyone is aware that that's something that's happening. And I think at least in one college there's already been movement in that direction, so that was promising to see.
Okay.
We added specifically as to on work environment concerns that for the human resources, the first outlet and stop for our faculty would be the HR liaisons within the college, but you also have OIE and USER, or the integrity line. That's kind of older language, but I just want to specify that HR liaison in your college is going to be the best, closest HR contact for faculty concerns. And then as far as evaluators in the promotion process, Chuck may be able to explain this one better than me, just given his prior role, but as far as giving feedback in the promotion process, I think that's what everyone's looking for is full feedback. I know you've used the words equitable and transparent. That seems hard to apply in an equitable, at least in a system where everyone is different, everyone's performance is different, people are treated as unique individuals in the promotion process, but that we wanted people to feel like they were, on the transparency point, that everyone is clued in as to what the process looks like and that they get feedback on why they were not promoted or why they're not yet ready or whatever the case may be. Chuck, did you have anything to add on that one as far as
name? Yes. Actually, I'd like to talk about those last two bullet points in phase one together. The second one in particular mentions uniformity in the evaluation. to me, that's something that we can't guarantee. The only way I can guarantee uniformity in evaluations is something that none of us will like. Just give them the answer. Don't give them any details, and it'll be uniform. But when we start saying uniform, well, some evaluators, some chairs, for example, may write a paragraph. I've seen a number of promotion and tenure dossiers. Sometimes the chair writes a couple of paragraphs. I've seen examples where the chair writes a five-page letter in support of a faculty member. We can't enforce uniformity, but what we can do is try to educate people, train them so that they implement best practices. Each person that's an evaluator has their own personality and so forth. Some people are more wordy than others, but what we want to do is provide people with information so that they can move, they can best move forward with their careers. That's really what I think we want to do, is provide people with useful information. If it's positive, you know, you're doing great, they ought to hear that. Sometimes people need some correction in what they're doing, or some guidance in how they might do things better. And we want to make sure that gets communicated. But to say that we're going to be able to do it in a uniform way, I don't see how to do that. But I think we can encourage people to provide feedback that employees can use to make themselves better and more likely to be promoted.
So, Chuck, I see where you're coming from, and I agree that, you know, we can't be equitable here, but I think feedback is very important. And there should be some statement to exactly what you were saying, that, you know, when you don't get any feedback about what you can do to make it the next time around or the next time around, that is what I think, that probably was the sense of it, right? Like where
all right, I think that last point that's not stricken says that. We need to train evaluators to do it. We can't just say they're gonna do it.
I see it.
I think you and I are on the same page on that. It's very helpful for people to know, okay, this didn't work out the way I planned, which is when feedback is most important, is when somebody needs to do something differently.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that we communicate that with the idea that we're trying to help them advance in their careers.
So maybe you just add that, and that would help it. It give useful feedback to help individuals advance their career.
Oh, Charlie, is this your?
If you feel comfortable with that.
Practices for useful feedback to help their career?
Yeah, to help advance their career or something.
Oh, to help advance.
Yeah.
Or to facilitate career advancement or something.
To facilitate career advancement. That's good.
So right here after feedback?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talat, is that okay with you?
Looks good.
And I think that's professional as well, because at one time, this is the oddest thing, I got dinged because I used purple paper in one of my binders. This was back in the day when we used to use binders. And I used purple to separate different kind of topics. And the comment was, I shouldn't use purple paper. And I was like, what does that have to do with career advancement? Did it help you separate between like the teaching research sections? Yes, because the paper was purple.
It probably helped better than most colors would have.
Yeah. So the fact that they noticed it, I'm like, oh, that means you also noticed the package, right? But that's good. I like that.
Right. Oopsie.
So I think we added, someone added, I'm sorry, I'm losing track at this point, build on phase one successes. Obviously, that's an important part. We want to keep all that going.
We just moved that to higher on the list. That's all.
It was here. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Moved it. Thank you, Chuck. So as far as equity, inclusion, diversity training available at the new faculty orientation. Agreed, that's a good idea. It's a very tight schedule at new faculty orientation. We reviewed the latest one. It can be done, but it might just be more of like an advertisement for a training that people can take, because really most people who go up to speak during new faculty orientation, based on the calendar, it's like 15 minutes max per person. So I don't think you could do the topic justice in that 15 minutes, but it would be a good time for either Kent or Nancy or Matt, Ricky as the case may be, to advertise that type of training. And we did strike the word mandatory just because the last few times, at least since I've been here in the last year and a half, anytime that there has been a training that we've tried to make mandatory, we have gotten a lot of pushback from this very group. So whether or not it's the people on the call today, that historically that has been a big problem when we try and make training mandatory. So we were not opposed to it in principle, just practically we have seen that being a problem in the past. As far as UCF Foundation, wanted to specify that we're seeking one endowed chair position because it is such a large money commitment. It's $1 million, I think, for an endowed chair position. So that's the goal for phase two. It's not to say that there won't be more in the future, but that's what we're going to aim for in the short term, the shorter term of 22 to 24.
And Sarah, if I may add, it's also not unusual for the identification of a donor, the courtship of a donor, and agreeing on, you know, actually making the gift and what the purpose of the gift, that can take several years.
Mm-hmm.
What's listed here is actually rather ambitious.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then as far as the removal of the mediation system with an external consultant, I think we discussed this last time, but we really see that discussion about if there's chair faculty problems and it's not CBA related, that's really what the dean's office is there to do, is to mediate those concerns between a chair and a faculty member. And so that exists, and if it's not working or not happening, then that's something that could be addressed with the provost office or with our group. I mean, that's really what the deans are there to do. So we don't want to push to an external consultant when we believe we already have a good structure in place for that. But you all are the folks on the ground, so you would know better than me. But that's why we struck that. We felt like it was, if the deans are engaged, then they can serve that role rather than hiring of an external consultant, for example.
Well, may I add, Giovanna?
I'm sorry, Nina, what did you want to say?
May I add to this, because...
But we're going to go into caucus. I want to make sure, because we only have till 3:30 today. So do you want to say that, Nina, in caucus? All right, so do you mind if we go into a caucus? Could you just put us into a breakout room?
Rhiannis, can you do that? Break out our UFF votes.
Yeah, and then Brianna should know everybody on the team. So let me see, I can't see everybody. Okay, so we have Marie, Fawn, Robert, Lisa, Kevin, Latarsha, Talat, Monique is here. Okay, so everybody's here on the team. So yeah.
How do I?
And then I think we have a few guests. I mean, they can join us. It's Shelly and Nina. Yeah, just Shelly and Nina.
How do I, it already has people in rooms, so I'm trying to figure out how to undo this.
You can do it manually. So it's like a breakout room and then put their names manually into a room.
Okay,
so we went through it. I mean, this is, thank you everybody. First, I wanted to make sure to thank everybody for all their hard work. I know Chuck and Sarah did a considerable amount of work, also Sherry in keeping us up to date with this. So we are very happy about this. We are very happy that we're making progress, especially working at the most diverse university in the United States. I mean, we're very proud of what we've done here. I hope you guys are all proud of what we've done. I know things in our politics and stuff may be changing in the next few weeks, but given that we would like to move forward, given also in the terms of collegiality and, you know, UFF also works with the university, we had one thing that we wanted, but everything else so far, the way we've worked on it, we're very happy with. So aspire to the language that's used here, and also making clear, like for instance, USF as they report in future instances, you know, so people know where to go. So that was good. So we had some small changes and we're hoping you'll be amenable to them. Where was it? Oh, about liaison. So employees are encouraged to report their work environment concerns to administrators. And what we added here, and sorry, Charlie, I didn't know how to add that green one. So
I know the green was my, it was just the, what my computer put on it. Blue is fine. It doesn't matter.
Okay. So we added this one, human resources and or their liaisons within the college, just so there's, it's clear that somebody could just call the human resources main office and just talk to somebody there, as opposed to trying to figure out who their liaison is. Because somebody brought up the thing, like, what if the only way to find out who your liaison is to ask your chair, and what if your complaint is against your chair? They might not help you out, or maybe they just don't want to talk to that person.
So what you added was and or there.
Yes, and or there. That's all we added.
So that means that they can go to human resources or the person in the college?
Yes, the liaison, right. Or HR liaison.
Oh, I see.
But not the, you know, but
oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, well, so we originally just had human resources in there, but Yovana had asked, well, who in human resources? So I had specified liaisons within the college, but of course you can call HR. Any employee can call HR at any time for any issue. They are there to assist employees, and even if they're not the right place for the particular matter, they'll make a referral. But they're always a good one-stop shop for employee concerns.
Yes, thank you. So the next point here, we worked on this together. So the other change, best practice for giving use to facilitate career advancement. So that's good. And by the way, the example that I gave about the purple paper, it's a very gendered one. So I don't know why, you know, maybe just the women get those kind of comments. And the other change we made here is we really do care about all this. I mean, about all these topics, making sure that this is going on at a level where we all understand that this is very important to all of us. And here, let me put in the chat box here. We were looking to see like where this kind of data is. So I don't know if y'all can see the chat box, but that was something that Latarsha found pretty quick and she was able to find it for us. But we also want to, and this could be done through a faculty excellence. We just put some draft language. If we could develop tools to assess the success of these MOU items so that we're able to say at the end of the 4 years, like, this is what we accomplished. And it also would make both UFF and UCF look very good in addressing these issues and then to actually show our success. Because I think at least everyone on this team is going to be very active in helping you all promote this as much as possible. I mean, we're all for, at least this team is all for equity, inclusion, and diversity. So given that, so I highlighted with that small change and everything else here is the way we had discussed, didn't change anything there. Where did I put it? Oh.
Underline that implement.
Implement, yes. Implement tools. So phase one, develop the tools to assess the success of these MOU items. I mean, that's going to take some, you know, administrative work, doing some research to find out what are the best tools. And maybe OIU already knows these, what they are. And then phase two, actually implementing the tools. So at the end of 4 years, like I said, we can figure out, hey, this is how successful we were in doing these. And just imagine, like in 4 years, if we did this in 4 years, as Chuck has said, it's highly ambitious, but if we were able to do this, this is a model for other universities as well who are facing the same issues where their university is becoming extraordinarily diverse with all the new generations. You know, and I'm sure most of you have already read everything that's out there. Like, by just in the next decade or two, most students are going to be, half are going to be non-white students. So we are talking about a trend in the United States that's coming. We're just maybe ahead of the curve here. And that's, you know, for me, that's very exciting. So what do you guys think?
I don't want to be in an argument about the tools. Well, so I'm trying to think of just letting you know that I see what you're saying. I just don't want to end up in an argument about it.
Well, I think whatever we do, you know, I mean, in the sense that whenever we do anything, we have to have some way of assessing it. So we may not come up with the right tools the first time, but at least we'll make an attempt, right?
And it may not be something new that needs to be developed. Again, we currently, right, track information on faculty and staff, faculty promotion, and you can look at that by race only right now, but of course, that's not the only factor of diversity. But we could have other items added to that tool based off this MOU to capture, you know, how well this MOU is doing.
There's certain issues I know that have come up with tracking, for example. There's, just so you know, because I became aware of this relatively recently, that legally we ask for certain things for tracking purposes, like we track the race of applicants as identified by the applicant, gender, of course, other various categories. There's certain categories, for example, national origin, that we don't ask about. It's not officially on the application. It really doesn't have a bearing, but of course that does contribute to diversity. So that might be a hard thing to track. I just wanted to put that out there as a radar. There's certain things that we're not legally required to track, so we don't, and that in fact we don't necessarily want to track because it would create legal risk. But of course, that's an important part of diversity as well. And that's just one example.
Disability would be a very difficult thing to
track. Exactly, unless it interferes with someone's job duties, it wouldn't ever need to come up unless they had sought an accommodation. But there's, you know, of course, many different types of disabilities out there that many people suffer from or not, or just live with. And it doesn't interfere with their job duties, but it is something that they live with. But it's really not our business. But of course, having that diversity is important as well, and making sure that everyone feels that we are accessible as both an employer and for our students.
Well, I think you're getting the cart before the horse, because all that's being requested here is that in phase one, tools or metrics be developed. Now, exactly what tools or metrics will be developed, well, we're not deciding that here today.
Right, that was just more of an FYI. Something I learned about recently about what HR is legally required to track.
No, that's fine. I mean, you know, we can even say to the extent fee allowed or something like that. So obviously, anything that we are not allowed to do, I don't think the union is going to push for that.
So I guess however, I'm worried about if you look in Article 6, there's a lot here that I don't feel comfortable asking people about their disability, their gender identity, their religion, their pregnancy status. There's a lot of
sexual orientation that would not.
I wouldn't want to be in a place. And to me, that's like fully diversity. Yes, race is a huge.
We could just add to that, develop tools to the extent to the extent allowed by state and federal rules.
Right. I would say just based off the data that we are already collecting in the institutional knowledge management tool, we can continue to collect that data. And unfortunately, it may be some data that we cannot collect that could impact diversity on campus.
So Charlie, just maybe to the extent permitted by law.
Yeah,
Yeah. Right. Well, and based on data that can be collected, you know, like that.
Right.
I'm worried about collecting the data. I don't mind sending a survey. If we do a survey, that's great, except that you're going to have...
To the extent data can be collected by, to the extent permitted by laws. Yeah.
Yeah, and it may be that some of that data can come from the coach survey, because I know some of those demographic
factors. That I can get on board with, of course. Anything that we can get from the survey is, what's the word for it? It's optional. You don't have to respond. Right. We want everyone to respond to the coach survey, but not everybody does.
Right.
So that's what I mean when you say developing tools to assess the success. There's only a limited availability for us to assess anything without being really draconian and intrusive.
All right, so to the extent permitted by applicable law.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of the way
to Yeah.
That's the way to phrase it, applicable law.
Yeah.
Yep. Develop metrics.
Yep.
To evaluate the success.
Yep. That's fine.
Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just as long as everyone understands that there's limits to what we are able to collect. As much as I would love to be able to collect things, I just wouldn't feel comfortable doing that.
Exactly, yeah.
And at the bottom then, so to the extent permitted by applicable laws, the university will implement, yes.
We don't know if the executive order is gonna be dead and buried, but Sarah, would that have any implement as law?
It doesn't have the force of law the same way that a regulation, like in the Code of Federal Regulations would, or that a statute would. I don't think that will play into this in the future.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, so 57 then. This is the new language. To the extent permitted by applicable laws, the university will develop metrics to evaluate the success of these MOU items. And then new language down here, 6970, the university will implement the tools established in phase one to assess the success of these MOU items. Sound good?
Yep.
Okay. And then everything else, I believe we kept the same. Organized now. Yeah, that was all Sarah's language. All right then.
All right.
Yeah.
Good job, everybody.
Looks good.
Looks good.
You know what, Yvonne, can you, save a copy of what you have, but then say, do a one that's not tracked.
So you can what?
Sorry, someone was calling me and I'm like, what are you doing right now? So we can see it without the tracking, with just like what it will look like for signature.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to do that right now?
Save a copy of what you have and then
accept
all changes and stop tracking so we can see and then.
Okay. Got it.
Goodbye, Kevin.
All right. So let me take you back to share screen. All right, so this is what it looks like in simple markup.
I'm wondering who's going to police some of this, but. Oh, you can remove the yellow.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, I did do that after all.
It's funny, the computer decided it's green now.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to change it. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
Once you accept all changes in the document, it'll
Okay. So have to remove the double R.
No, that's fine. Just, it's okay.
Okay.
It's all right. That's why I said just accept all changes in document and then, but it doesn't matter.
I didn't save it. So that, so.
And yeah.
I didn't save it yet. So that's why I was like doing it this
okay,
way.
Giovanna, on lines 48, two bullet points it looks like got combined.
Oh, okay. I see it. Okay.
To the allowed by applicable law, that didn't save that part, right? On line 58.
Yeah, and it's applicable law, singular, not plural.
Yeah.
Okay. To the extent permitted by applicable law, the university will develop metrics to evaluate the success of these MOU items.
Wait, 58, line 58 is the same thing.
Add to the extent permitted by applicable law.
I thought you did that already, but it didn't say for whatever reason.
Okay. Implement the tools.
Oh, I keep trying to scroll down on it.
I got one more thing I want to suggest.
Okay.
On line 49, where it says the university, why doesn't it say we?
We? Do you want it to say we?
Well, it's a question.
How about the parties instead of we? We
say okay.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. That sounds good. Do you want me to say both parties, Charlie, instead of that?
No, I like the parties.
Okay. I'll change it over here, too. Parties one. Okay.
Biden? No. Giovanna, I'm feeling a little sad because I think this is your last task, isn't it?
No, you're staying on.
One more. Article 23, the 1920.
Staying on.
Yeah, that's rolling now into the other one, sort of. So it would be in the same book. So like, I have mixed feelings. Maybe we need to find something that we need to disagree on more.
But I'll stay on. I'm on the bargaining team. Talat asked me to stay.
On the bargaining team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
She'll be there.
Okay, and I'll send this to you right away, Charlie.
Well, please copy Brianna's because she's the one who puts it on the website. We're going to need a separate section for MOUs in the website somewhere so that we can see them more easily.
Okay, I think we did that on our website.
Yeah, we need something sort of in the collective bargaining section, just like where MOU has its own line, so you don't have to dig.
Mm-hmm. So everybody could see it, we've read it. Okay. And I'm going to email it. So Sherry, I think, who's the big boss today? Sherry, Sarah, or Chuck?
In terms of signing it, I'll still be the one that signs
forever
it.
Forever Sherry. Oh, okay.
You want to be photographed signing it?
I never want to be photographed any more than I absolutely have to.
Okay. So Charlie, what I'm sending you is the MOU, the way all I did was like hide the track changes. So it's that one.
Oh, well, yeah, you can. There's a function where you just accept all changes and stop tracking. That's what we're going to do because you and Sherry have to sign this. Okay. So I have to have that then convert it to PDF and stuff like that. But if you send it to Brianna, she'll take care of it.
Okay. So I'm sending this right now.
She'll prepare it for signatures.
Okay.
Thank you. I mean, I'm happy to be copied. That's great. So.
Okay. So I think I just copied you. So I just sent it I'll send it to the rest of the team in just a moment, but I'm getting confused looking at so many screens. So, okay. Oh, thank you, Talat. I just saw your email.
You guys. All right. Bye.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Latarsha. Did you want to sign it like now, today, or?
Actually, while we've been talking, I've had two people pinging me about needing to call them back. So I need to get that done today.
We'll get it done as soon as possible, Yovana, though. I mean, I think the parties are in agreement, so you're
okay.
All right. Okay, fantastic.
I just need to get off right now.
Okay, fantastic. All right, so I'll send you a clean version PDF like right after this phone call then. Okay, Briannis, there you are. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, everybody. I wish we could shake hands, but fives, air high fives. Yeah, thank you, everybody.
Yay. Okay. Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay,
bye.
Bye, everybody.